Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is high integrity. Each of my guests is discussing something or someone of high integrity. My first guest is a personal productivity guru who shared tips on how to improve workplace performance and develop our own sense of personal integrity. My second guest was Jack Trout, marketing guru. We didn't talk about marketing today, though. However, we discussed what he sees wrong in America and how we can return our country to the integrity that it once had. My next guest writes about a man with high personal integrity, John Lennon. He had unprecedented access to the Beatles, and he reveals the man behind the legend and shares John's personal brand of integrity. If you're interested or you want to learn more about John Lennon, you can always call us at 639-0008. Larry Kane has the distinction of being the only American journalist to travel in the official Beatles entourage during the legendary 1964 and 1965 tours of North America. Larry's Emmy-winning career spans more than 45 years, including anchor positions at all three of Philadelphia's network TV affiliates and the ABC network in New York City itself. His latest book is titled Lennon Revealed. It's an intimate portrait of who John Lennon was, what he stood for, how he acted, and the consequences of his actions. And just recently, his first book, Ticket to Ride, became an ebook and is available on the internet as well. Larry, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Hey, it's great talking to you. How's the weather out there?
The weather out here is rainy, as you well know from the news. The news is blowing it up. We have a little bit of weather coming through. For us in California, that's strange.
So rather be in California.
Well, you're welcome anytime. Come on out and visit us here in Ventura, that's for sure. But now, let's get right to it, because you probably spent more time with John Lennon than any American journalist ever. Yeah, yet your relationship got off to what I would call kind of a rocky start. Tell us about your first meeting with John.
Well, I was 21 years old. I really didn't want to travel on the Beatles tour. I was a news director in Miami, and I met the four of them in a hotel in San Francisco. And, you know, we gathered because I was going to travel with him. Met Paul, was very lovely. Ringo was sipping on a tea. And George Harrison reading his Green Hornet comic book. And walked up to John. He looked at me and said, "Who the hell are you?" He said, "You look like a round peg in a square hole. A nerd from the 1950s. And I was wearing my Robert Hall suit. Those of you old enough will remember that.
Yes.
And I said, "Well, it's better than looking like a slob like you." And I proceeded to ask him some questions on tape about the war in Vietnam, the situation, racial tension, immigration controversies in England, the draft, and all of a sudden he was sparkling, and then I walked out of the room and said, I guess I'll never see the plane on this trip. I just insulted John Lennon. And I walked down the hall, and I felt two arms on my shoulder, and he spun me around and gave me a hug. And I'll tell you, if anybody in there knows anything about John Lennon, he did not give hugs very generously. And he said, "I'm so sorry we got off to the wrong foot, or we're square hole or something."
And I told him very clearly that
there's no question in my mind. Can you hold on one second? I'll be right with you.
All right, Larry. We're talking to Larry Kane, everybody, who has traveled with the Beatles during their 1964 and 1965 tour of North America. His latest book is titled Lennon Revealed. He also has an original book titled Ticket to Ride, which has come out as an e-book. No, that's quite all right, Larry. Got to take care of it. But so the story of your first meeting with John Lennon, clearly John Lennon took to you after that. Did he view you as a sparring partner, somebody that an intellectual equal that you could bounce ideas off of?
Certainly did. He was a person who loved the intellect. He loved debate. All four of them were pretty intellectual, by the way, in their pursuits of life and the world. But more so, he, and the reason being is that they liked my serious questions. He didn't like me asking him, whether he was cheating on his wife or who was the latest girl he saw or what he wanted, what he liked in terms of length of skirts, or what he ate for breakfast. He was interested in the world as it was, and we became friends. And I loved sparring with him. One time on a way from St. Louis to New York, he turned red in the face and dry in the mouth, arguing with me over why I went into the U.S. Air Force during the Vietnam era, when he could have easily sneaked me out of the country and given me a job with the Beatles organization. And I said, "You don't know who I am." and we went and argued for an hour and a half about war, and it was just it was incredible.
Wow.
And I liked him. He was a man, Bill, who said what he thought. He often said in public what he thought in private, which could get him in a lot of trouble. But there was one interesting aspect of him. He may have been an adulterer. He may have been a person who was a bad father, who cheated on his wife in a room next door to her, who did some pretty ugly things that society would view as very disdainful and horrible. And I would, too, personally. But he was also a man who was all about one thing, and that was no BS, let's get the truth out. And frankly, I respected that, although I did hope that I could never become like him, because although I wanted to become more candid and more honest about things in my life, I certainly wanted to have a filter. And John did not have a filter. And as a result of that, he became quite a hero to millions of people. Well, John was big in life, but he was bigger in death. And sometimes tragedy brings about that kind of retrospection and, reflection on a person's life. And in his case, the things he did were more important than the things he said.
Absolutely. We're talking to John Cain, everybody. And, John, I couldn't agree with you more. He was a legend. Larry Cain, and thinking about John Lennon. I apologize, Larry. Definitely, John Lennon was both a legend in life and an icon in death. But you've known him longer than any other American journalist. And you mentioned some of the dichotomies within the man himself. So I'm going to ask you the question, as one of the longest-lived friends that he had, what did you see as some of the most dramatic changes in John's life over the time that you knew him?
Well, I didn't know him as a child. In fact, right now I'm working on a book called When They Were Boys, which is a pretty dramatic and intriguing. Actually, it's more interesting than their adult life what happened from the time he was 15 to the time the Beatles made it in 1963. But he was a guy who was an anarchist as a child. He would draw pictures, sexual descriptions of his teachers in school. He would be in trouble all the time, but extremely bright. He always got great grades. He was a person who made his aunt crazy, his Aunt Mimi, who brought him up, who made his mother crazy while she was alive. He was a rebel without a cause sometimes and then with a cause. And he really had many women, but he loved only three. He loved his first wife, Cynthia, tremendously. He had a symbiotic relationship with Yoko Ono, and then Yoko arranged a relationship with him and May Pang, their secretary, which May Pang really didn't want to do, but they fell in love. And so what turned out to be what Yoko thought would be a weekend turned into to almost two-year relationship, and longer than that privately. But what was most interesting about him is that he was a tremendous womanizer, and less so in the McCartney sense. McCartney was classy and charming when he met young ladies. John was just, let's get it done and let's conquer the next one. But it was interesting to me that from the time I met him in 1964 to the time of his death in 1980, he had become a feminist. He had read books, and all of a sudden, he looked back at his life and said, oh my goodness, how did this happen? And he realized that women were really second-class citizens in his country, in our country, for a long, long time, in many, many ways, and also in personal relationships. The other thing that was fascinating about him is that he was an anti-war protester. And in those days, back in the 60s and 70s, you were labeled by who you were. Mm-hmm. Chances are, if you were anti-war, that meant you were pro-police, anti-police. All right, so already you were labeled, just as we are today in many of our lifestyles, extreme right-wing or left-wing. We have MoveOn.org, and we have the Tea Party, and there's actually not much difference if you consider their tactics. But here's what's really fascinating about it. He became one of the biggest supporters of police officers in America. He raised thousands and thousands of dollars for bulletproof vests. He was a guy who understood the individual worker in America. He was also, by the way, and this is very interesting, if you went through the collection of his music and you listened to all of his songs from the very, very beginning, Girl, a song about the woman who came to stay and the mm-hmm. problems he had. I am a loser, nowhere man. Help, I need somebody. Mother, all the songs he wrote individually and with Paul McCartney were all songs about his real life and very autobiographical.
Sure.
And he was not afraid, unlike most artists. You know, a lot of artists share their trauma with us in novels and in books, and sometimes in art, as many, many of the great artists and the Impressionists and then Picasso and the others have in this last century and the one we're in now. They were able to express themselves through their work. He expressed himself through his music, but he was really, unlike McCartney and Ringo, really unafraid to show his life, his real life, not the good things, but also the troubles that he was facing. And, you know, when the last, in their last album, when Yoko and he recorded Just Like Starting Over, it was, you know, we're back again, you know. And unfortunately, just as he came back, they had this unbelievable tragedy of,
yes,
of his murder. So I think that a lot of people, surprised a lot of people. I'll tell you, I'm sure you've read the book, and you know there's about the judge who gave him his green card.
Yes, but tell the story.
Well, the judge, John Lennon was under surveillance by the FBI for approximately 6 years. And it all started with two things. One was his arrest for a few ounces of marijuana possession in London in 1968. And the second was a song, Imagine. It turned out to be one of the greatest songs of all time. But in its day, if you want to take yourself back to 1970-71, it's used the words imagine no religion, imagine no countries, imagine no war. And these were very, very violently antisocial statements in those days. And the government, the Attorney General and President Nixon and later President Ford, who I believe was just really an innocent bystander in this, decided very clearly then and now very clearly that they were going to put him under investigation because they considered him an enemy of the state. And so there were two FBI agents trailing him all the time, and this is public record now. So basically, in 1975, they wanted to deport him, and he decided to fight it. And he went into a court, and he fought it, and the arguments were held. Finally, it went before a federal judge named Irving Kaufman. And Irving Kaufman was the most, without question, one of the most, the toughest conservative judges in the nation. If he were living today, he would probably have been appointed by President Bush to serve on the court. All right, he was in the Scalia mode.
Okay.
And he was pretty tough. And he basically came up with the decision, I don't have the words exactly in front of me, that all John Lennon was guilty of was a testament to the American dream, that he spoke his mind, that he emboldened and motivated people to think, that he was a great debater, and that he is a testament to the faith of what the American dream is all about, and that's free speech. And therefore, he allowed him to apply for his green card. This was on October 8th, 1975, one day before his own birthday, and also one day before the birth of his second son, Sean. And he was thrilled about that. We talked about that on the phone a few days later. But here's the interesting story. He didn't know this, and I didn't know this till later. The judge in the case, Irving Kaufman, was the same man who sentenced the atomic spies, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg.
The Rosenbergs, yeah.
To death in the electric chair.
Wow, what a coincidence.
So he'd come full circle, you know, really, really looking at real treason, okay, legitimate treason. People who gave atomic spies to the Soviet Union, secrets to the Soviet Union. And here he was just looking at a rock superstar who just wanted to say his piece.
We're talking to Larry Kane. Sorry, Larry, didn't mean to talk over you there. We're talking to Larry Kane, everybody, author of the book Lennon Revealed. It is a great read. And Larry, we're short on time. We've only got about a minute left. So I'm going to ask you to sort of summarize, if you would, please. What will you always remember about John Lennon? What sticks out in your mind as the number one takeaway from your book?
I think that it's just his honesty, his integrity in terms of his honesty. A lot of people may not think he was a man of integrity. The fact that he was banned in Cuba, his records, and now there's a statue of him there. The fact that he stood for truth, and not just justice, but truth, real truth, wars against everybody. He was an equal opportunity protester. He did not just target the United States. In fact, he loved it here. And the fact that he was irreverent and didn't like royalty and all that business. And he was really, and even though he was a multimillionaire, gazillionaire, one of the people.
Yeah.
By the way, if you don't mind me mentioning, I want people to know that if they're looking for a last-minute Christmas gift, my first book, Ticket to Ride,
yes,
is on Kindle and can be gifted as an ebook.
Ah, that's great. Ticket to Ride is an ebook and can be gifted on Kindle. And if people wanted to learn more about you or about Lennon Revealed, Larry, where would you direct them to go?
LarryCain.com.
LarryCain.com. Larry, thanks so much. You are a wealth of knowledge. We'll definitely have you back in the past.
Hey, we'll do it again. I'm sorry we ran out of time.
That's quite all right. We will do it again. Thanks so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. And we're going to go out with John Lennon. Happy Christmas. The war is over to end the show today.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over, and a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas.